Welcome back, Dr. Sam Chalice. How can Sam Rockhart came to be on the coat of arms? We're going to get to that question. Interestingly, we had a bit of a workshop on the word Bushman not too long ago. And in your work, you've encountered the fact that South Africans prefer the word sand, while those in the Kalahari Desert and also artists from New Bethesda, whose work you commissioned for the new exhibition, prefer the word Bushman. Have you been able to reconcile that, Sam?
Yes, it's a very tricky one, and of course we reject any negative associations attached to either name. Yes, if you go to Botswana today and on the border with Namibia, where the Jutkwansi and the Naro and Gwi Bushmen are, they say no, we are Bushmen, and they view the word San as a pejorative. That is associated with being vagabonds or hangers-on or people without cattle or something like that. Whereas obviously down in South Africa, people historically and rightly so, I think, associate the word Bushman with the name that colonists gave to people who stole their stock, you know, without thinking about perhaps the reasons as to why this was happening, etc. So it's a very tricky one. And yes, as you say, so the San descendants, descendants of the southern Kham San,
yeah,
at New Bethesda, have reclaimed the word Bushman, and they say no. We prefer to use this word, and so we respect that.
Yeah, there's something liberating about that activism around around the name. I can't quite put my finger on it, but I'm thinking, is it not possible that maybe just in through the loss of the language, by and large, that the essence of San is not understood, and that the colonial languages and maybe the Creole versions, Afrikaans version, for example, has taken root?
Correct. Absolutely. It's all to do. It's a lot, got a lot to do with the loss of language. And of course, you had an almost, wholesale extermination campaign, yeah, going on at one stage. If you just read Mohamed Adhikari's, book of the San genocide, then it leaves us in absolutely no doubt as to what was going on.
Absolutely.
San groups being, killed, massacred,
like,
and the children.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the children taken, and then the children get brought up on farms, without their language, and not entirely losing customs, the mothers and children together, and the women, of course, as keepers of culture, retain a lot of the belief systems and structure. And we have strong reason to believe that such illegal slaves, because this slave trade wasn't supposed to be happening, had been outlawed from 1652. There was outlawed, but then it was realized that it was cheaper to get workers for the land by illegally slave raiding, which is it's just a litany of horrendous things. But we have reason to believe that escaped slaves went into the hinterland and joined groups of free San and others as well. So other Africans, other Africans from West Africa, people from Malaysia, all together escaping and going and forming bands. This is under colonial rule, to resist and fight back. And so there's a very nice story in there to be explored.
Absolutely.
At a later stage, perhaps not today. But so we commissioned part of the work from the artists' collective at New Bethesda, at the Bushman Heritage Museum.
Yes.
I thoroughly recommend going to see, if you can, the museum, that is. And we asked the artist to say, let's have your take as modern Kham descendants of the values that are supposed to be espoused in the national coat of arms. And the result was absolutely incredible. They make these incredible lino cuts and woodblock cuts, and the lino prints that they produced reflect, as I say, their take on the values that are supposed to be espoused in the coat of arms, but from a modern condescendant perspective. So that's part of the exhibition. But the original focus of the exhibition is the coat of arms and the inclusion of,
Dr. Sam Chalice, if you don't mind, I'd like you to hang on just for a couple of minutes after news headlines coming up at 10:30, because we want to explore the exhibition. We also want to understand more about rock art and especially, of course, how this particular sand painting, became or was used in the coat of arms. A couple of interesting questions, and just before we get there, are there special patterns, colors, indicators? This is from a listener that defines sand rock art from other rock art.
I would at first say no, because the minerals that are used in the paint can be found all over the world. Things right. like red ochre, yellow ochre, black and white. But you can recognize sand rock art immediately from the way that it is painted.
Okay, and then there's
That's
a question.
The simple answer.
Okay, and there's a question about the image that came to be associated with our coat of arms. Where was that image taken from?
Right. So this is a small human figure with an arm outstretched that has been duplicated and flipped so that it's now two human figures with arms outstretched in a gesture of greeting. The image was inspired by the painting of a human figure on the now famous Linton panel that is at Iziko South African Museum there in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. It's one of the first things you see when you go into the museum. It's a huge slab of rock, which unfortunately was removed in the early part of the 20th century when people didn't know that the rock art wasn't, in fact, disappearing at the rate they thought it was. They thought they were rescuing it. And yes, it's inspired by a human figure in the middle of that panel. And what we've done with the exhibition is take that whole panel with the very kind permission of Iziko and photograph it at extremely high resolution and reproduce digitally the image of the panel so that you can now zoom in on the rock art features. And so this was what forms the center of the exhibit, is the ability to see the exquisite details on the rock face by zooming in on a Zoom console so that you can have the images explained. And so if you zoom in on an eland antelope, a little bubble will pop up.
Wow.
And it'll say what the eland means in San religion, for example.
Sam, we're gonna have to rest. Dr. Sam Chalice, we're gonna continue this conversation. We're gonna take a short break for news headlines. And I think a very important question in as well. What's the difference between koi and san for after news headlines? It's been described as hunters and gatherers and herders. Is it as simple as that? How does that form and become, and how did that come to form part of our coat of arms? And more about the exhibition as well. Maybe Dr. Sam Chalice can tell us, is there a difference? If so, what is the difference between koi and san?
Well, again, it's a very thorny question, because the kwe-kwen and kwe and San language, they refer to people and language groups. And so the joining together of the two words koi and san to make this sort of hybrid word koi san is actually came out of linguistics. It refers to a group of languages. Now, as to who the people were, as you just mentioned, we're going way back, and we're talking about actually people ancestral to the modern San and Kwe speakers, and generally, if you did want to separate the two, which perhaps isn't necessarily very helpful, the San would be the hunter gatherers, and the Kwe speakers would be the herders. Now, they both share a genetic signature, because the Kwe speakers are descended from those San who adopted livestock from East African farmers around about 3,000 years ago in what is today northern Botswana, Zambia area. So pastoralists without crops, but moving around with cattle, sheep, and goats. But with those Aboriginal San genes and a very, very similar languages. In fact, there are still Kwe speakers in that part of the world today who are hunter-gatherers who did not adopt pastoralism. And so you can see it gets very complicated. But from that moment, 3,000 years ago, wherever they went in the subcontinent, and thereafter, if they were to ever meet, they would have something in common. They would share linguistic features. They would share religious ideas. Absolutely. And so then from that point onwards, you have an incredibly complex mixing and meeting, separating and meeting again happening. And we think we can detect some of this in the rock art. So authors like David Morris and Jeremy Holman have pointed out that a lot of the geometric rock art in the central arid interior, the Karoo desert, semi-desert rather, when you see these geometrics painted on the rock face, actually what's happening here is neither attributable to only the San or only the Kwe, because what it indicates is could belong to the religion of either group, and sometimes perhaps both. And it could even be a meeting place where people come together, and the geometrics are associated with girls' initiation ceremonies, for example.
Okay.
And so we can read a lot into this rock art. Yes.
Just tell us how this San phrase became a national motto.
Well, the phrase is taken from the Kham language. The language is now no longer spoken, but there are Kham descendants at places like New Bethesda. But it was
we still call ourselves Kham as well. So let me just liberate a whole lot of people who encounter the word Kham on the Cape Flats. Now you know the origins of the word Kham, and maybe you're going to claim it completely. Maybe we should claim it. Kham. Did you pronounce it? Yeah, thank you. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, it's a vertical line written in the Asan orthography as a vertical line. But it's more of a k sound.
Okay.
The Kham, and so the X is the kh part. But it's preceded by a k, so it's kham all at the same time.
Yeah, it's lost in pronunciation, but it's widely used today still. Other people would look down on it, but you're liberating that word, giving it historical context.
Absolutely, and the kham themselves are reclaiming it, and the word bushman and the word san as something to be valorized and held up and treated with respect.
Hallelujah.
The language was recorded in the 19th century by a German linguist, Wilhelm Blake, and his English sister-in-law, Lucy Lloyd. And they took down 13,000 notebook pages of verbatim San testimony from prisoners at the Breakwater Jail. And so this is the thing that we go to time and again when we're trying to figure out the San beliefs and take it back as far as we can, and then we try and match this with San beliefs, Bushman beliefs in the Kalahari, and where these things intersect, you have a high degree of certainty as to what's going on in the with the religion, with the language, with the and for my purposes as an archaeologist, in the rock art as well.
Sam, I'm going to have to come in. We are running out of time. I want to understand ke karat ke and what it means literally. Yeah.
The expression, this takes us back to the year 2000 when Tabu and Becky's office approached Wits and approached our now emeritus professor, David Lewis Williams, and said, we need a new national motto for the country, for the new South Africa. You've got a week to do it in. And he thought, you know, oh, Lord, what am I going to do here? But he went to the Bushman Dictionary as it had been transcribed by Wilhelm Blake and Lucy Lloyd. And he found a marvelous expression that says, people who are different. Now, there's been a lot of academic debate as to this, because actually it refers more to people who are different and not necessarily in a good way, more like strangers. Oh. But the modern meaning we take from it is, people who are different, as in diversity. So what he was trying to create was a national motto that can be translated as diverse people unite. People who are different come together.
I'll take that.
Para.
I'll take that.
And unity and diversity.
If you can, in a minute, I don't know if it's possible even. Just why is this exhibition important? And tell us about the book launch and where we can find it. And if this exhibition is coming to Cape Town as well.
Yes, well, in terms of it coming to Cape Town, our colleagues at Iziko are going to be celebrating their bicentenary in a couple of years' time, and have good reason to believe that they are going to be doing something not exactly the same as this exhibition, but something similar. So if you're in Cape Town, look out for that.
Will do.
But please do make the trip up to Joburg, to Wits University and Origins Center. And this is a shout out to my colleagues at Origins Center, Amanda Esthazen and Tammy Reynard et al., who helped us put this exhibition together. And the reason it's important is because it valorizes San Rock art in the public eye. We have San Rock art right in the center of the national coat of arms. We have a language that is no longer spoken, but reflects the indigenous aboriginal people of the country in the motto underneath the coat of arms. And the reason that we've chosen the rock art, the Linton panel, the incredible facsimile that was made by our sponsors and colleagues at Canon Cameras, and the fantastic photographer, Cape Townian photographer Andy Lund, who went into Iziko and made this incredible multiple tiled image of the,
Dr.
of the original.
Sam Chalice, we're going to have to wrap it there, unfortunately. That's it. But just about that little book, let me tell you, it is called, it's a revised edition of the book, Customs and Beliefs of the Kam. Of the Kam people. You may want to look out for that.